The thread that runs through our text this morning is the power of Jesus' Word. We know from the Bible that we're promised that Jesus' Word will always have an effect, although people have different reactions to it. Sometimes people hear God's Word and they reject it and they're outraged by it, and then they'll stop at nothing to try and rob you of your faith in that Word. And others, thankfully, both you and I, hear that Word and believe. We'll read about those truths in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 52. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid their hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." And Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to them, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." Dear friends in Christ, in our world today we recognize that many people who hear God's Word reject it. And not only do they reject it, but they're outraged by it, and then they want to turn and mock us Christians for believing in that Word. As we can see from our text today, this has really always been the case. In verses 47 and 48, we are introduced to a group of people who perfectly exemplify those who reject God's Word. We're introduced to these group of Pharisees. And you all know the Pharisees. They like to follow Jesus around and try and catch him in different ways. And inevitably, because they followed Jesus so much, they had heard his Word often. They'd seen his miracles. And in the face of all of this evidence for Jesus being the Christ, they rejected him anyways. They rejected him because they hated his Word. They hated the fact that in his Word he said that you couldn't be saved by perfectly keeping the law. This is the very thing that the Pharisees felt that they could do perfectly. They also hated that in his Word Jesus showed that they were hypocrites. No, they hated Jesus' Word, and they rejected his Word because of it. And in so doing, they rejected Jesus as their Savior. And that wouldn't be enough for the Pharisees, because we see that they would also attempt to rob other people of their faith in Jesus' Word as well. Listen to these arguments that the Pharisees give to the officers when they're trying to reject Jesus. They say, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him?" Sounds a lot like arguments that we hear today. Think about things that people say to us as Christians. "Really? You believe in the Bible? A 2,000-year-old book? All the experts and scientists and science in the entire world says that evolution is the source of mankind. And you're going to say that they're wrong?" And then these Pharisees, they turn to Nicodemus with a different argument. They say, "Search and look, no prophet has risen out of Galilee." So what they're doing here is they're pointing to a supposed fact from Scripture to try and use that to intimidate Nicodemus. Now I say a supposed fact from Scripture because, in fact, it's not true at all. What they said was completely made up. But they weren't interested in looking at God's Word. Because if they had looked, they would have seen that the well-known prophet Jonah was in fact from Galilee. It's thought that Nahum and Hosea were also from Galilee. But they didn't care enough to actually look into Scriptures to see what they said. Rather, all they were interested in was in intimidating those people who believed in Jesus. And you also see this same argument being used against Christians today. You hear all the time people say, nowhere in the Bible does it say that homosexuality is wrong. In fact, it says, don't judge, love one another. And yet, if we look in God's Word and look to that for our source of information, we'll see that, in fact, it says repeatedly that homosexuality is wrong. And it's an abomination against God's perfect will. Now, all of the arguments that people use against us today in 2016 are the same arguments that they've been using for over 2,000 years. There's really nothing new under the sun. Some people, when they hear God's Word, they reject it, and they'll stop at nothing to try and rob you of your faith in that Word as well. Now, when we look at this account, it's easy to see that we fit into that group of people who hear Jesus' Word and believe. And yet, unfortunately, it's also true that we fit in the same category as these Pharisees who hear God's Word and don't exactly like what it has to say about us. We may believe in Jesus' Word, and yet there are times when we would rather ignore it. This happens at many times during our lives. This happens when we're speaking badly about someone. And though we know what the Eighth Commandment says and how destructive gossip can be, yet we lower our voices and look around and make sure that the person's not listening to us. This happens when we're watching something on TV or on our computer screen, and we know that God says it's sinful for us to be watching it, but we wrongfully assume that it won't affect us. This happens when we're with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and we know that God wants us to flee temptation, and yet we would rather enjoy that moment than listen to what God's Word has to say for us. Yeah, just like the Pharisees and just like many people in our world today, there are times when the Word of God is inconvenient for us, and so we ignore it. We too are sinners, just like everyone else. Now, being confronted with our sin like that doesn't exactly feel good, does it? It's rather painful to think about all the ways in which we've failed to live up to God's Word and all the ways in which we've sinned against our Savior Jesus. We can describe that painful feeling as a spiritual thirst. Now, being thirsty is one of the most unbearable cravings that we can have on this earth. You know, when you're really just dying of thirst and your throat and your mouth is dry, it's impossible to think about anything than getting a cold glass of water. Well, spiritual thirst is what we get when we feel convicted of our sins, when we feel completely weighed down and burdened by our guilt. And here we all are, having just been convicted of our sins by God's Word, desperately craving some sort of refreshment. And that's where our Savior Jesus comes in. Starting in verse 37, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So our Savior, in love that we cannot understand, while we were still dead in our trespasses, invited us to come and drink of his living water, of his Word. He sent his Holy Spirit, who would lead us to that well of salvation, who would plant faith in our hearts and give us the ability to drink deeply and be refreshed. And this is the substance of that water, that for your sakes, Jesus, though he was tempted in every single way that we today are tempted, he resisted those temptations, keeping God's Word perfectly. And for your sakes, though it was inconvenient for him, Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to the cross together with your sins, perfectly fulfilling God's Word. He did this so that when we do thirst for spiritual relief, when we are burdened under our own guilt, we can drink deeply of his Word. We can drink deeply and trust in his promises. You are forgiven. Drink and be refreshed. And so today, as we drink of that life-giving Word, and our thirst-causing guilt is quenched, we can realize that because of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, we are of that group of people that hear the Word and believe. along together with the crowd that day, we can say, this is the Christ. This is our Savior. We'll close by singing hymn 16, verses 1 and 3. 16, 1 and 3.